barriers have developed that are standing in the way of advanced energy use in Michigan. That's according to a report released recently by Michigan's Institute for Energy Innovation. The Institute says its report is the first serious effort to identify those barriers. The organization describes advanced energy as a broad range of products that constitute the best available technologies for meeting energy needs today and in the future. To learn more, I sat down with IEI President Dan Scripps a couple of days ago. I first asked for some examples of promising sources of advanced energy.
Well, in terms of the technologies, it's things like solar power, which has decreased by 50% just in the last 2 years, the cost of solar. Wind turbines, we're building larger turbines than we were even 5 years ago that are able to harness much more of the wind at reduced cost. But there's also a whole set of business models. So things like demand response, where instead of firing up the next and most costly generator to meet peak demand, you can actually pay people not to use energy, and you can see a reduction, and it's more cost effective and actually requires less energy generation overall.
Before we get into a few of the key barriers to advanced energy, I want to ask you about a sentence that grabbed my attention. The report maintains that, quote, advanced energy technologies are now cheaper than conventional electricity generation technologies. I've grown accustomed over the years to hearing that coal, for example, is still so plentiful that advanced technologies and that advanced technologies are still costly enough that lower costs are still more likely through coal. The report would suggest that's not accurate.
Really, one of the amazing things that's happened over the last couple of years is a real transformation. We've gone from talking about the need for mandates and subsidies to a conversation where, because of the cost effectiveness of new technologies, it's really more about creating markets and removing barriers. And that's the thrust of the report.
And there's a consensus on cost here. There are alternative ways to generate electricity that are actually less expensive than coal, for example?
When you look at, yes, that's exactly right. When you look at the most recent executed contracts, long-term 20-year power purchase agreements in the state of Michigan for wind, they're $45 to $50 per megawatt hour. When you look at the anticipated cost of building a new coal plant, Consumers Energy says that's about $107 per megawatt hour. The Public Service Commission says it's about $133. But regardless, either the utility estimate or the regulator's estimate, wind is half the cost of new coal and cost competitive with new natural gas as well, even at today's historic low gas prices. That, depending on who you ask, they estimate the cost of a new natural gas generation plant at between $66 to $70 per megawatt hour. Again, you see the cost of wind at $45 to $50, and even utility-scale solar. The Lansing Board of Water and Light recently got bids as part of their 5-megawatt community solar or utility solar project, bids at $65 per megawatt hour. So again, less than coal and very cost-competitive, even with natural gas.
The report identifies six areas where there are barriers to moving ahead with advanced energy. Let's focus on a few of the biggest barriers. Policy barriers, for example. You write, the report refers to limitations on deployment. What does that mean?
Right. Well, when you look at solar, for example, we actually have system caps and individual project caps written into Michigan law today that under our net metering standard, which are net metering process, which was built into the 2008 energy legislation. Individual projects are capped at 150 kilowatts, and the total system cap, all the solar built put together, can't equal more than 1% of utility load. And so these are artificial caps, both on individual projects and on total solar deployment in the state of Michigan that really are, I mean, they're policy barriers written into Michigan law that are frustrating the development of additional projects.
Is there resistance to lifting those caps?
Yeah, I think that there would be some who would say that there are costs involved in maintaining the grid as a whole, and we want to make sure that everybody that's benefiting from the grid is participating in paying for it. And those are valid issues, but when you actually look at the costs being assessed or the caps that are in place, they're way out of bounds with the actual costs. And there are lots of places in our electricity delivery system where costs are shifted from one group of ratepayers to another, and yet we all pay the same. One example would be, you know, that a lot of folks don't have air conditioning, so they're not really contributing to the expensive peaks in the summertime months, but their electricity isn't any less expensive than those who have air conditioning units throughout their whole house. So lots of places where there are sort of cost shifts between groups of consumers, and it seems like solar is being singled out as the one place where we're going to pay attention to that.
Dan Scripps is our guest. He's with the Institute of Energy Innovation here in Michigan. They've just released a report that identifies a series of barriers to advanced energy in Michigan. There's a transactional barrier that you write of as well, permitting jurisdictions. I guess there's a patchwork of approaches here across the state of Michigan when it comes to launching an advanced energy project. Tell us about that.
Yeah, there are a couple places where this comes into play. We have 1,700 permitting jurisdictions in the state of Michigan. And if you are working to deploy solar on people's roofs or install charging stations in people's garages for electric vehicles, and you have to learn 1,700 different permitting regimes, that not only frustrates the deployment of these technologies and slows down the process, but the process of learning new permitting regimes township by township, city by city, adds considerable cost to the project, to the extent that now the actual hardware of a solar installation is less than 50% of the total cost. Those soft costs of learning permitting regimes, fee schedules, inspections, etc., are now more than half of the total cost of a solar project.
Now, is there resistance to unifying these different jurisdictions?
Well, I think that we can do a lot in terms of developing best practice. There have been efforts, and we refer to them in the report, for individual small solar arrays to have a one-page permitting application that can be used across jurisdictions. What's really needed, I think, is probably...
Is that a good idea?
I think it is a good idea. And probably what's needed is to work with the local governments and highlight how the standardized forms are addressing the concerns that could be raised and getting them to adopt the standardized form as their solar permitting regime.
Among economic barriers, the report cites access to capital and lack of financing for improvements requiring significant upfront capital outlays as a challenge. That would seem significant. How is that overcome?
Yeah, and that really spans the different areas that we looked at in the report, from energy efficiency to distributed generation to electric vehicles. That energy efficiency, for example, almost anything that you do, insulation, replacing your boiler, switching out your light bulbs to more efficient lights, will have a short payback period. You'll be money ahead over the life of the project. But some of these things can be fairly expensive, $5,000 to $15,000 or more. And most people don't just have that lying around, or if they do, improving the efficiency of their home or business isn't the first way they think about it. So providing upfront capital where the loans can be repaid over the life of the project, often from the savings that are generated from the project, is one way that you can really help expand deployment. We've taken some steps in that regard in Michigan, but there's a lot further we could go.
Dan Scripps of the Institute of Energy Innovation in Michigan is our guest. Governor Snyder has a special message on energy planned for next month. Are you hoping your report influences the governor's message, and if so, how?
Well, we think that the governor is absolutely right when he talks about the need for an adaptable energy system in Michigan, that when you look over the next 20 to 30 years, and that's really the timeline that we're talking about in terms of setting the right policies and the right framework, we're going to replace almost all of our generation. Our coal fleet is almost all over 55 years old in the state. We know that the technology is going to continue to improve, and we know that the prices for advanced energy technologies are going to continue to decline. So because of those three things, the focus on adaptability is exactly right. And as you're moving from sort of the traditional centralized energy system of the 20th century to a more distributed energy system of the 21st, that focus on adaptability requires understanding what barriers exist to full deployment of advanced energy in Michigan. And we hope that this can serve as a resource both for the governor and for private sector interests who are looking to move forward.
Michigan's renewable portfolio standard is the percentage of electricity generated through renewables. We're hitting 10% here in 2015, or we're expected to, as mandated 7 years ago here, I guess. The question is, what should happen next? What do you think?
Well, and that's exactly the right question. The lack of certainty that we have right now, we see every day as chilling investment in advanced energy technologies, that you're not going to invest millions of dollars in building a new wind project, for example, if you don't know what the playing field looks like. And these things don't happen overnight. So we'd like to see, I mean, we are moving, in a direction that says it's more about markets and access to the marketplace as opposed to individual mandates. But the certainty that has come from the renewable standard, that we are going to say to our fully regulated utilities that that enjoy a monopoly under their regulatory system or a near monopoly, that we want them to get more of their energy from these renewable sources, has helped to drive deployment. Really a transformative thing in terms of how we've built out our energy sector in the last couple of years, and providing additional certainty can help us continue that momentum.
Dan Scripps has been our guest. Dan's with the Institute of Energy Innovation in Michigan. The new report is called Barriers to Advanced Energy in Michigan. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. Great to be here.
And for Current State, I'm Mark Bayshore.